Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, ladies. How many enjoyed that this morning? 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'd like to read just a short passage of Scripture here. If you'll stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God, if you're able. We'll begin reading in verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 11. Paul said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And he said, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Well, I'll tell you, that verse right there ought to be special. Especially to every man of God, that God trusted with this book, trusted with this gospel message. Now listen to verse 13, who was before. A lot of us were something different before, but we were something different after we met Jesus. Amen. He said he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, but, I love that word, don't you? He said, there's a day come in my life when things changed. He said, I obtained mercy. How many have obtained mercy this morning? We ought to be real careful this Christmas season. The song that they just sang said, fall on your knees. We ought to fall on our knees and say, thank God for your mercy. Thank God for the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's my text today. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord spoke to my heart this week, and I know it may be an unusual message for Christmas, but I just want to preach this morning on this subject. Christ Jesus came into the world. I'm glad he did. That really is what Christmas is all about. I want to look at three simple thoughts this morning and talk about this Christ Jesus that came into the world. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy here because he cares about this young man. This young man is his son in the faith. I'll be honest with you. One of the great evidences of Bible salvation is immediately you begin to care about somebody besides yourself. You begin to care about others. You begin to get interested in the welfare of others and their spiritual well-being and their physical well-being as well. I want to give you some things that I think that are coming out of this scripture as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, trying to encourage him. You know, in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is fixing to leave out. He said the time of his departure was at hand. But he was doing all that he could right up to the finish line, all that he could in the ministry. I don't know about you, but that's the way I want to be. I want to do what I can while I can right up to the finish line for the glory of our Lord. I'll give you three simple thoughts this morning. The first thought is the fact of his coming. The fact of his coming. I think about when I read the Bible over here in verse number 4, the Bible said, neither give heed to fables. A fable is an unfounded or a fictionist story. It's a story that's made up, something that's not true. Now listen, I'm not going to be dogmatic this morning, and I'm going to try my best not to be ugly, but I'm going to make a statement because it's in my heart. I believe as parents and grandparents, we better be careful with the fables. Because if our children have such confidence in us and they're believing the fable, what's going to happen when they find out the fable's not so? And now you're trying to convince them of something else that they must receive by faith, and that is the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world. You see, I didn't see him come. Amen. I wasn't there. But by faith, I know that Jesus came into the world. Archaeology says it's a fact. I was reading where, you know, for a long time they said, well, there's no such place as Nazareth. But let me just tell you something about archaeology. The devil would love to dig up something somewhere in the world that would disprove this book that's lying in front of me. But every time they dig something up, whatever they dig up just says amen. Amen. It's the word of God. It's the truth. You can't change it. Amen. Archaeology says it's a fact. History says it's a fact. You can go back in Josephus, go back in the history, and it says it's a fact. The Father in heaven says it's a fact. He's the one that said from heaven, Brother David, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, thank God this morning for the fact that he came into this world. The Son himself says it's a fact. Jesus said in John 6:62, he said, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? I'll get into this in the second part of the message, beloved, but Jesus doesn't begin in a manger. Say amen. That's where he just began in a body, is in the manger. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the Son says it's a fact. The Bible says it's a fact. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, the Bible said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Bible says it's a fact. But let me give you this. The Holy Ghost says it's a fact. Beloved, the Bible said that Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit that came down here and conceived in Mary, it's the same Holy Spirit that knocked Paul off of his horse on the way to Damascus. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost is here in Paul's heart, pinning down the Word of God to the young man of God, Timothy. And the Holy Spirit this morning, in your heart and in my heart, that have been redeemed by the grace of God, says, amen, it's a fact. Christ Jesus came into the world. Beloved, it's not a fable. It's a fact. Jesus came into the world. The Bible said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I love the Apostle Paul. I love to read after him. I love to study after him. One of the things that I love about this man of God is his humility. He said, if you're talking about the saints, I'm less than the least. But he said, if you're talking about sinners, I'm the chief. Think about that for just a minute. Oh, thank God. The Bible said, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. I'll say this morning, there's not one born again believer here today that should not be saying the same thing. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'm on the way to heaven. By the grace of God, I'm forgiven. By the grace of God, I have a wonderful family. By the grace of God, I have a Bible. By the grace of God, I have the Spirit of God living in me. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? I appreciate His grace so very much. The fact of His coming. The second thing I would like to talk to you about for just a moment is the foundation of His coming. You say, preacher, I'm not sure where you're going with this. Well, a couple of different ways, but the first thing I want to, the avenue I want to take is just this. Beloved, either it happened the way the Bible said it happened, or we're all in trouble. Now, some people say, well, now the important thing in the gospel is the death of Christ. Now, I agree that that's very important. Others might say, well, the most important thing in the gospel is the resurrection of Christ. And I agree that that's very important. I want to say this. The Christ of the Bible, beloved, was born just like the Bible said. And if, listen, I pinned these words down as I was looking here at the Word of God. I pinned some words down, and I want to give them to you. Is Jesus created, or is he the creator? You say, now, preacher, what's the difference? The foundation is not right if he's created. Beloved, there's all kinds of religions in the world today that acknowledge Jesus as a good man, as a prophet, but they do not acknowledge him as the Son of God, as God incarnate when he came down there in that little baby. Amen. And so the foundation of the gospel is wrapped up in the coming of the Son of God into this world. The Bible said it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, Word, what's that talking about? Well, if you drop down to verse number 14 in John 1, you'd find out it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved, listen, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I'm telling you, the Jesus of the Bible is the creator of the universe. Paul could already see it coming. So as he addressed the church at Corinth, he said this: another Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world's got another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. Hollywood's got another Jesus, a Jesus that could lust after a woman. Say amen. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is holy, harmless, sinless, undefiled, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was holy in his birth. He was holy in his life. He was holy in his death when he looked up into heaven and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Beloved friend, the foundation is so important. The Jesus of the Bible is God incarnate, the creator of heaven and earth. The Bible said in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child was born, but the son was given. The son already was. God gave his son into this world that he might take our place on Calvary's cross. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, somebody help me, God with us. That's what happened that day when Jesus came into the world. I read something that I thought was interesting, and I want to include it in the message right here. I believe it fits well. Long ago, there ruled in Persia a wise and a good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. Often he dressed in clothes of a working man or a beggar, and he went to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food that the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left. Later, he visited the poor man again and disclosed his identity by saying, I am your king. The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift or favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said this, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food that I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others you have given your rich gifts, but to me you have given yourself. Oh, thank God for a Savior that was willing to leave glory and come down here to this dark, dreary place called the world and fellowship with you and fellowship with me. Christmas is about Christ Jesus, His coming into the world. Many, 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 many people are going to miss Christmas. Their eyes, their heart, their hands will only handle the stuff that this world has to offer. And their heart will miss the Savior that came into the world for you and for me. The Bible said, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Jesus Christ that came into this world, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus that came into this world, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Thank God. Listen, if we're not building on this foundation, then we're building on sinking sand. Either it is this sure, tried stone, Christ Jesus that came into this world, or we're building our life on sinking sand. Miss Tina, I remember well, God brought it to me, my heart this morning, your father-in-law, and speaking to him about the house that was built. And I asked this man, I said, sir, if you hired somebody to lay this basement up, and you came up here and you found out that they didn't pour any concrete in the footer, they just started laying the blocks, I said, what would you do? He said, I'd make them tear it down. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. It's hard for somebody that's lived 60 or 70 or 80 years to admit everything they've built needs to be torn down. But I'm going to tell you something. The only way a person will get saved, beloved, is to realize, beloved, they've been building on the wrong foundation, and it's sinking. They need to get on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of His coming. I'll give you this in closing this morning. I want to talk about the forgiveness of His coming. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I've done a lot of things. I'll say this morning. If it were to be exposed in the lives, including this one standing in the pulpit, everything that we've done, everything that we've thought, everything that we've looked at, everything that we've heard, everything that we've handled. Somebody help me this morning. It'd be an ugly picture. And Christmas is about the fact that I obtained mercy. He forgave me of that mess. Amen. The Apostle Paul was on his way to get another load of Christians and persecute them. And God, the God of heaven that was born in a manger, showed him, you're on the wrong way. You need to turn around. And the Apostle Paul repented. The Apostle Paul trusted Jesus. The forgiveness. Why did He come? The fact of His coming. Did He come? The foundation of His coming. How did He come? The forgiveness of His coming. That's why. Why did He come? He came so that you and I could be forgiven. Most of you have probably heard this before. But peradventure someone's not heard it. I think it's a great statement. We don't know who said it. But the statement is, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. I don't know about you this morning. I don't want to go through Christmas without the Savior. I want Him to be first and foremost. I want Him to have the preeminence in our lives. My granddaughter's here this morning. She probably remembers this. She can nod her head if she remembers it. We try to read the Christmas story at our house before we start opening gifts. And I've told you this before, I know. I'm not senile yet. Hey, but some have not heard it, so sit still and listen to it again. At our house, we try to read the Christmas story, and the three of the boys, they got there about noon. No, Aubrey and, no, that's right, three of the boys got there about noon, Aubrey and Avery and Aaron. Two of the boys got there at noon, I'm sorry, I'll get it right in a minute. The other three were coming later. They said, can we open a Christmas present? Just one, Papa. I said, go ask Mama. Mama said they could. They started running for the tree. I said, wait a minute, boys, wait a minute. No, I got it wrong again. Aubrey, you were there on the first load. It was you and Avery and Aaron that were there first. The two boys were getting there later. And Avery and Aaron wanted to open a present, and they asked Mama, she said they could. They started for the tree, and I said, wait a minute, boys, we don't open any presents till we read the Christmas story. So we sat down in Luke chapter number 2 and we read the Christmas story, and I asked them questions. I believe Aubrey was sitting in Charity's lap in front of the fireplace. And I would ask them questions, and Aubrey was answering all the questions, Brother Randall. I mean, just like that. I thought, man, this girl's bright. But I found out Charity was whispering the answers in her ear. I mean, cheating, even at Christmas time. Amen. And so we got through and we had prayer and we let them open one present. 3 or 4 hours later when the others showed up, I mean, tell you, it was like cattle in a rampage. They were headed for the tree. Instead of Aubrey heading for the tree, she headed to me. She hugged me around the waist. And she said, can we read it again, Papa? I know the answers this time. Her brothers could have killed her. We just read it again. You know what we need to do as God's people? We just need to read it again. We need to read it slowly and deliberately. And remember, if Christ Jesus, Brother Rose, hadn't have come into this world, God only knows where you and I'd be. What we'd probably already be dead and in hell. But we've been forgiven because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The Bible said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't have to come to condemn the world because the Bible said the world was condemned already. He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Pilate therefore said unto Him, art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. He said, to this end was I born. Beloved, when he's standing before Pilate, he knew that was the reason that God became flesh. Because he was going to be given on an old rugged cross for you and for me. For this cause I came into the world. Give you a couple of things and I'm done. He came because of his love. The Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Beloved, let me just say this. It's one thing to say I love you, but God didn't just say I love you. He proved it when He sent His Son into the world. He came because of his love. He came to give us life. The Bible said, and this was manifested the love of God, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why he came. He came because of his love. He came to give us life. But then he came to give us light. Jesus said in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And this is the condemnation. You want to know why a lot of people are not going to really have Christmas? There are a lot of people in the world that would rather Christmas just go away. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. You know what Christmas is going to be to a lot of people? An opportunity to get drunk. An opportunity to have a party. An opportunity to dance with somebody else's wife. You say, preacher, you're being ugly. No, I'm not. The Bible said, this is the condemnation. Light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. That's why a lot of people would rather have Christmas without Christ. Because to have Christ is to have light. The Bible said, because their deeds were evil. There was a time in the life of the Apostle Paul that his deeds were evil, because light came. He turned his life around. There was a time in my life, beloved friend, I would be so embarrassed. So embarrassed. If you were to know what my God knows. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's Christmas. And I'm glad I've been forgiven. I'm glad he was born like the Bible said. I'm glad he lived like the Bible said. I'm glad he died like the Bible said. I'm glad he saved me just like the Bible said. I'm glad he's coming back just like the Bible said. If he were to come right now, are you ready? Are you going to have Christmas the way a child of God ought to have Christmas? Or are you going to have Christmas the way the world has Christmas? The Lord put it in my heart about the service tonight, and I'm thrilled. I hope we come back tonight. I hope the choir's full. I hope nobody's in a hurry. I think it's time to just slow down. I'm going to sit on the front bench, and I'm going to do like that old prisoner did when Brother Don's preaching. I'm just going to holler, preach! Preach! I stopped Brother Don about 15 minutes of that and said, what in the name of Jesus do you think I'm trying to do? That inmate was having a time. I might just pretend like I'm an inmate that's been set free. Come back. Truth is, in my mind, I see a great service tonight. Truth is, Brother Steve, none of us can be assured that we'll be back tonight. I don't know what happened the other day. I'm just imagining that something went really bad. Either a heart attack, I don't know what happened, but a vehicle left this lane of traffic, went completely across the median and went all over down through a field and into the Holston Electric building in Churchill there across Caddy Corner from Mount Carmel. Half the truck was in the building and half the truck was out. I mean, that's a long way. He had to go 150 yards to do that. But I'll guarantee you that's not the way he pictured his day ending. And I don't know about his life. I don't know who it was or what happened. I just know it was a terrible, terrible accident. None of us can say for sure that we'll be back. But I can tell you this for sure. If I don't make it back here tonight, I will make it to heaven. You say, how can you say that? Because Christ Jesus came into the world. And he saved me. He made me one of his children. And I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. I don't want my grandchildren coming by and saying, wonder what happened to Papaw. I want them to look up at Mamaw and say, Mamaw, it'll be okay. We'll be with Papaw soon in glory. Amen? Are you saved? Have you been forgiven? Have you got the fact right? Christ Jesus came into the world. Are you building your life on sinking sand or on the rock? The foundation of his coming. Have you been forgiven? Do you know him? Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the blessed privilege. The blessed privilege, Lord, to stand with this book open. All these wonderful people that have gathered here today. Lord, in a crowd this size, no doubt there's someone that's going to go through the Christmas season, but right now they don't have Christ. It's my prayer, Lord, that the precious Holy Spirit would deal with hearts and, Lord Jesus, that you'd give them that opportunity to trust Jesus today. Father, Paul said that it was a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lord, you said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank you, Lord. Lord, the words, they ring over and over in my ears. What Brother Brian said that morning, Lord, when he said, I've gone as far as I can go. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to the end of myself, bringing me to Jesus. I pray, Lord, this morning that one that's here that is still carrying that guilt, still carrying that load, that today might be the day, our Lord, that they would just turn to Jesus, experience that forgiveness that comes through the Christ of the Bible, our Lord. Let's stand together. They're going to sing.